Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
You know, many of you are aware that I do a show in the afternoons, typically on the SEC Country Facebook page called AT&T SEC Country Live, and I do it with a guy named Mike Johnson, who was a former Alabama All-American, played in a lot of bowl games there with the Crimson Tide, including the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, the site of where we're doing Dog Nation Daily from this week. And Mike said something one time before that I have referenced here on this show a couple of times, but it really sticks with me as probably an important subplot for a lot of these bowl games that you'd maybe have to be a former coach or an ex-player to truly understand. One of the things that Mike has said is that there is some sneaky bad blood in these bowls, that when you spend a lot of time in the general vicinity of the team you're playing and you sort of hear about that team for a month from guys and gals like me in the media, or when you're, you know, in practice sort of focusing in on a team like that for a long time, there's just a way of in which that team probably grows a little tiresome for you. You get a little irritated by them. And, you know, for Georgia and Oklahoma, I think there's a degree to that of which that's probably true. Even though both these teams are kind of going out of their way to sort of put on a good front for the media and say all the right things and behave politely here in California, there's a degree to which, and I hate to say it this way because it's going to come across so harsh, there's a degree to which it almost just seems like these teams are lying. It almost just seems like that they are saying one thing, but privately they believe another, and that privately, as we've said here before on Dog Nation Daily, the Georgia folks believe that the SEC way of football is just better. It's just the right way to play the game. The Oklahoma folks believe that their brand of football is just more fun. It's more exciting, more engaging, and the kind of pace with which Georgia's going to have a hard time keeping up when you get to the Rose Bowl. They're not saying all of this, you know, very much out loud. They're certainly not, you know, giving bulletin board fodder and material to the other side here, but there's a degree to which that almost has to be true, or at least it seems like it would be true. And every now and then you have these moments where maybe some real thoughts kind of creep in, maybe some real feelings kind of bubble up to the surface here. Maybe an example of that yesterday coming from, and I'm going to butcher the name here, as my colleague Mark on the scene with us here in L.A. has said, there's a reason why Lincoln Riley calls him Obo. It's Ogbonnia Okoronkwo, the legendary, very good defensive end pass rusher for the Oklahoma Sooners. He met with the media for a bit yesterday, and you know, the question comes up once again of, hey, what's it like for an Oklahoma team to go up against the SEC? There's been a bit of a rivalry between the Sooners and the SEC going back to time when Bob Stoops was the Oklahoma head coach, and Obo gives a pretty blunt statement here. He says, we're done talking. We've been hearing this every year. We play SEC teams every year, and we beat them by a lot. And there's a certain way of reading that quote, and it sort of sounds, you know, a bit like a harsh statement, a bit like the kind of thing that Georgia fans are going to give some attention towards. In fact, I heard from some people on Twitter about this. It's probably also fair to point out to Obo here in defense of him. He said similar things throughout the day yesterday, and a lot of the things that he said, I know that Jake Trotter, who covers, I think he covers the Big 12 for ESPN, he had a video up of Obo, and what he said in that video was a little more benign than the way this quote kind of comes across. This quote kind of comes across as, you know, Oklahoma feels like it's settled. They've proven their superiority over the SEC. In subsequent statements, maybe he wasn't quite so full-throated with what he said there. But definitely a lot of Georgia fans are noticing this. This idea that Oklahoma's played SEC teams every year, has won those games against the SEC teams that it's played and sort of proven its superiority over the league. I think a lot of Georgia fans would point out, well, now hold on just a minute here. The Auburn team that you beat in the Sugar Bowl last year was 8-5. And that was a team that Georgia, you know, another 8-win team also beat as well. So let's not act like, you know, a victory against Auburn in last year's Sugar Bowl is some sort of proof about Oklahoma's superiority over the SEC, because Auburn wasn't exactly the standard bearer for the league in that regard. Also, go back to a couple years before when Oklahoma had won at Tennessee. I mean, listen, a Butch Jones Tennessee team, you know, that's not going to be proof of anything. No one's going to, you know, give you a trophy for beating Butch Jones Tennessee, but clearly that's what Oklahoma did, and you know, it's obviously important to Oklahoma when it goes out there and wins those games against the SEC. And listen, I also sort of get this from the Oklahoma side of things as well. I imagine they do get tired of being asked about the SEC. They do get tired of being asked about, and we even had this yesterday with what the columnist Barry Trammell had said, about Georgia's place in the SEC pecking order, in a league where conference pride is taken very seriously. I'm sure that is probably a bit of an irritant at times for Oklahoma, including its outstanding defensive end, Ogbonnia Okoronkwo. So I understand all of that, but there is a reason that these questions are being asked, and there is a reason that, you know, the SEC plays the way that it does, especially teams like Georgia and Alabama that rely heavily on lines of scrimmage. That is different than what Oklahoma does. And Georgia wouldn't be doing this if he didn't think it was the recipe for victory, especially against a team like Oklahoma that doesn't see this style of play very much. And as we have said a million times, of course, what Oklahoma does is the kind of thing that Georgia hasn't seen very much either. But I think the bottom line for Georgia fans on that particular part of the discussion is, don't think you've proven yourself too much against the SEC because you've beaten somewhat middling SEC teams over the last couple of years. If you think Georgia is on January 1st going to be anywhere near the SEC teams you played recently, I think you're very much mistaken on that. But not only is Georgia better than the previous SEC teams that Oklahoma's played recently, it's also a lot better than it was a year ago. And when the Georgia folks met with the media yesterday, that was the big talk of the conversation. As we said on yesterday's program for a moment, that, you know, Georgia is almost like the surprise newcomer to this playoff. You've got defending national champion Clemson. They're getting a lot of attention. Alabama's been in every playoff dating back to the inaugural year of 2014. Oklahoma's got the Heisman Trophy winner. Georgia's the team that a lot of the national media is having to sort of scratch its head and figure out how did Georgia get here so fast in year two under Kirby Smart. And I think one of the things that those of us who sort of live and die with this program every day would say is, a lot of it's about how much better the offense got and dramatically different in year two compared to year one. We had a chance to catch up with Georgia offense coordinator Jim Chaney yesterday, and he was asked about the improvement of his offense. Was he satisfied with what he's seen here in year two? And Chaney sounded very much like a coach. Here he is.
You know, you, as a coach, you're never happy. You're always looking for the perfect ball game. And so have we met every goal? And no, we haven't. Have we exceeded our expectations? No, we haven't. Have we played our best football yet? I don't believe we have. I still believe there's another game or two out there that we can hopefully go out and prove that we're even better than what we've been able to do thus far. So being content with where we're at, I would say that's not true. I think we can continue to get better, and I believe we will.
All right, we're going to go.
So that's very much a coach-like answer from Jim Chaney, and I'm going to take a moment here to give him a bit of credit, though, because there is something that Chaney could have said there that he did not say. Chaney could have said, hey, I told y'all everything was going to be fine. I told you that this was a process that had to be worked through. But Chaney has never kind of taken that tack with Georgia. Think about when he spoke last season before the Liberty Bowl in Memphis. That's how, by the way, how far Georgia's come in just a year. But last year, you know, he kind of fell on the sword a bit. And he talked about the fact that the offense wasn't as good as it needed to be. And he took the blame for a lot of that a season ago. Yesterday, meeting with the media and the Rose Bowl of all places, quite a climb in just 12 months' time. Chaney could have taken a bit of a victory lap, but he chose not to do that. That's kind of a interesting thing there from Chaney, and I think kind of a testament to his character as well. But the offense is better one way or another. Why is the offense better for Georgia this season? How is it that that offense allowed Georgia to punch a ticket to the college football playoff? Oklahoma defensive coordinator Mike Stoop weighed in on that subject when he met with the media. What Stoop said about the Georgia offense is the biggest improvement that he's seen is the offensive line. And they've been able to do it with those guys up front and giving those running backs a little bit of space. They don't need much. They're great players, and you got them. They'll do a good job of not letting you penetrate too much and giving those guys opportunities. I think Stoops is right about that with what he says, his assessment of the Georgia offensive line, that it is the reason why the offense overall has gotten better. But I think for a lot of Georgia fans, it also leads to another moment of curiosity of, okay, well, it's easy to understand the offense is better because the offensive line is playing better, but why is it that the offensive line is playing so much better this season? Well, I had a chance to ask one of the anchors of that Georgia offensive line, Isaiah Wynn, the left tackle, that question yesterday. How is it that you guys are performing so much better this year than you did a season ago? I thought Wynn gave a pretty interesting answer. Take a listen.
My name is Brandon Adams from DogNation.com. My question is for Isaiah. I think most people would say that The Georgia offensive line played much better this season than the year before. What do you attribute the improvement to?
We definitely bought in this season. I mean, you know, we definitely had to get used to the coaching staff, and I definitely believe everybody just did a good job of stepping up leadership-wise and pulling everybody along just enough to buy in and make sure that everybody's doing it the right way.
So good stuff from Isaiah Wynn, who's always a smart, thoughtful guy. And the bottom line for me in this entire discussion is, you know, to go back to what Obo said about the SEC earlier, certainly Oklahoma can take a little bit of pride in its recent record against the SEC, but Georgia fans know this brand of SEC football that the Dogs play is much better than the ones of the SEC teams that Oklahoma's been playing recently. And by the way, also Georgia a lot better now than it was this time a year ago, and I think you've got to give guys like Jim Chaney and Isaiah Wynn a lot of credit for that. It is good to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, whether you're watching us live from L.A. on video right now, checking us out in podcast form later on the day. Of course, we'll try to make that easy for you to find iTunes, SoundCloud, theworldfamousdognation.com. Always good to be with you on the radio as well here on Athens Sports Radio, 960 The Ref. And, you know, one of the things we've been doing here each and every day during this time is taking a look closely at what's going to happen on the field for Georgia and Oklahoma. We're calling it Simply Smarter Game Planning, brought to you by Aldi, the home of Simply Smarter Shopping. And I think that, you know, as I talk to Georgia fans here in L.A. or talk to folks that are covering this game, I think we continue to kind of look in on a key issue for Georgia, and that is, how do you get the running backs for the Dogs involved in this game without putting Jake Fromm at the risk of being in a third and long situation too much if the running game is slow going on the early downs or early on in this game? And I think that you've got to find a way to provide a steady dose of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb. That is obviously the key to victory for the Dogs here in some form or fashion. And with that in mind, I thought that Sony Michel yesterday was asked a really interesting question by the ESPN reporter Tom Rinaldi to sort of describe his relationship with Chubb, the two great senior leaders for Georgia. How do they help each other? How do they coexist so well with each other? And Michel, who is always a pretty sharp guy, gave a great answer to this question. Here's Sony Michel.
It's just the competitive nature that's in us that that keeps us, you know, pushing each other to be better. If I see something on the football field that he does that's out of character, even in practice, I would tell him. You know, as a teammate, you don't want to be afraid of, you know, stepping on anybody's toes, but you have to, just to help the other person improve, and he does the same for me.
Jim. So good stuff there from Sony Michel. And, you know, I think when you talk about getting these guys involved in the game plan, I think it's got to be more than just the traditional runs. I mean, moving the chains is critical here for keeping Baker Mayfield on the bench, keeping that Oklahoma offense at bay. But that doesn't just mean the sort of clock-killing, you know, yard-chewing running plays. I mean, we saw, you know, Sony Michel, you know, catch the football against Auburn in the SEC championship game. That was a part of a pretty creative game plan, I think, from Jim Chaney there. And the Georgia fans that I've heard from, both here and in L.A., and in our comments section throughout the week on Dog Nation Daily and our special Dog Nation recaps that we've been doing throughout the evening here, I mean, the one thing they're saying is, hey, can we see some more of what we saw in the Auburn SEC championship game in this game against Oklahoma as well? And I think that, you know, that opportunity does exist. In just a moment, we're going to hear from Seth Emerson, who is obviously doing a good job covering this game for DogNation.com. And we kind of talked about this in the interview that you're going to hear in just a moment. You know, in so many ways, for me, it boils down to what happens on first down. You know, can you make it second six? Do you avoid the third and long? I know when Stoops, the Oklahoma defensive coordinator, spoke to the media yesterday, you know, he talked about that you know, that Georgia wants to avoid those third and long situations. And leaning on the guy that we just heard from, Sony Michel, is a good way to make sure that happens. Whether he's running the football, catching the football, whatever, a lot of Sony Michel, including a lot of Nick Chubb, is a good way for a Simply Smarter game planning to unfold. And, of course, Simply Smarter game planning here on Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by our friends at Aldi. Celebrate the holidays with a delicious meal, bubbly spirits, and your favorite company. Stop in today for everything you need to create a magical holiday soiree. Simply Smarter Shopping at your local Aldi. Before I bring on Seth Emerson, I'll also remind you that Dog Nation Daily is brought to you in part today by my friends at MyBookie. And, of course, you know, listen, this time of year, a lot of y'all have these bets getting down on a lot of these college football games. And the thing that you want is that fast, no-hassle payout when you win. Well, that's why you want to trust my friends at MyBookie, because they've got that rock-solid reputation. They are known for doing that in just two business days. You win, they pay at MyBookie. And right now, they've got an even better offer for you than that. You can get your first deposit matched up to 100% when you use the promo code DOGNATION. So the website to remember, mybookie.ag, the promo code DOGNATION. Sign up. Your first deposit can be matched up to 100%. You play, you win, you get paid. It is as simple as that with my friends at MyBookie. Check them out on the web at mybookie.ag. But make sure you use the promo code DOGNATION to activate the offer. All right, we've got a lot of fun coming up here today on Dog Nation Daily. We'll also take a look here in a moment at the strange saga of Baker Mayfield, apparently too sick to be a part of some Oklahoma team events this week, but not too sick to get into a beef with an NFL analyst. We'll tell you all about that coming up. But first, as promised, here's a conversation I had with Dog Nation Seth Emerson as we look a little more closely at what's going to happen for Georgia in the Rose Bowl later on this week. Here with Dog Nation Seth Emerson, part of our coverage of the Rose Bowl, continuing all week from L.A. And Seth, we both just got back from Georgia practice not too long ago, and obviously one of the big topics this week has been how you block out the distractions that come from a Rose Bowl. And when you see this sort of sunbathed practice, all the palm trees all around, it almost seems easier said than done treating this like a normal football game when the backdrop is clearly so different than anything else that Georgia's seen at any point in time this season. Is that something you'd agree with?
Well, it reminded me, just being at practice, of their usual bowl practice. It's always in a different setting. What was interesting was being at Disneyland yesterday and the idea that we're not here to ride the rides. This is a real business trip, like a real game. Well, then they went and they rode the rides, whatever. And Kirby Smart right there in the middle of it, that viral clip that was great, of Chubb getting scared and Roquan holding on to Kirby's. You know, they're trying to maintain a balance here, have some fun, but also know that it's a game and they've got a chance at a championship.
It seems, I guess, objectively true that Georgia has had strong leadership this season. Does it make it easier in your mind to strike that balance when you have had pretty level-headed seniors all season long?
Yeah, that's something that's guided them the whole way. Their senior leadership now, Sony Michel, his kind of talking point when we've been talking to him last couple of days is, hey, it's not just the seniors and the veterans, it's, you know, these freshmen, these young guys have bought in, quote unquote, and that's been a real turning point. I still lean on it's the seniors and the juniors like Roquan Smith and those guys, because those guys, not only are there a lot of those seniors and juniors, but they are predominantly their starters and first and second teamers. They passed the test when they went to Notre Dame. They passed the test when they continued to take care of business until the Auburn game, and then passed the test when they had another shot at Auburn, when they knew that the winner of that game would get here. So I just don't know that we've seen anything, including Jake Fromm. I think he's passed every test that you would need. I don't know that we've seen anything that would indicate that this team will be too big for them or anything like that. I think this, when you come in Oklahoma with Baker Mayfield and the fact that they were in the Sugar Bowl last year and 2 years ago they were in the playoff, I think in intangibles this game probably don't favor either team. It's just going to come down to football.
Let me go on to the field for something else for a moment. I'm going to paraphrase something you wrote the other day, that obviously everybody knows about the Georgia defense, everybody knows about the Oklahoma offense, but the Georgia offense may be a little bit better than some of the national folks realize, and the Oklahoma defense may also be a little bit better than maybe even some of the Georgia fans realize in terms of how those two units can impact the final storyline for this game, correct?
Yeah, I think we, having watched, and I may be prejudiced here from watching Georgia all year, I think this offense is better than a lot of the stats show, especially when you look at yards per play, and especially when you consider the amount of blowouts they had, that in the fourth quarter, when they might have been racking up more yardage to increase their stat rankings, they were handing the ball off and not doing anything with it. And when they had to make plays, they tended to make those plays. With Oklahoma, it's more of a question. Is that defense something that just is a product of playing all those Big 12 offenses, or is it a, you know, just a kind of mediocre, average at best defense? The one thing that you put in Oklahoma's favor is when they went to Ohio State in week two, they won that game, and they won it 31-16, I think it was. The defense showed up that game, and Ohio State, by the way, was number five They were almost in the playoff. They were almost here. So I think that's one thing in their favor. But I still think that we know Georgia's offense is better than the stats indicate. We don't know whether Oklahoma's defense is.
I'm going to tell you what a lot of fans have said to me, and you tell me if you think this is an oversimplification. Obviously, Georgia's offense wants to keep Baker Mayfield on the bench, and it really comes down to first down, right? Can Georgia get those 4 yards on first down, make it second and six? And you could almost distill the final score of this game down to what Georgia does on first down in terms of being able to move the chains and maybe keep Mayfield on the sideline.
I mean, yeah, you don't. One thing Mike Stoops, the defensive coordinator for Oklahoma, said today was you don't want to, if you're Georgia, you don't want to be in third and long ultimately, but they can get third and long if they need to and convert. But so, yeah, I mean, first down is still is a key, but it's just mainly getting the first downs and keeping them off the field to begin with. Now, at the same time, as much as if you're Georgia, okay, maybe there's an overall strategy of keep Baker Mayfield off the field and have some nice long drives, but would you rather have a, you know, 7-minute drive that ends in a missed field goal or a field goal, or would you rather have a one-play, 80-yard touchdown? You know, keeping them off the field is one thing. Scoring touchdowns, because I don't think anybody thinks that you're going to hold Oklahoma in the teens. I mean, I'd be shocked if that happens. I mean, ultimately, Georgia's got to score some touchdowns in this game.
Good stuff, Seth. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Brandon.
Always good to get a chance to check in with Seth Emerson, who was with us yesterday at Georgia practice, obviously watching that closely. Make sure you read everything that he's got coming up for you at DogNation.com here over the course of the next few days from Los Angeles and Pasadena, and, of course, Chip Towers as well, doing a great job covering that. It's really fun to be a part of this entire team of folks from Dog Nation who are bringing this Rose Bowl coverage to you, and we've got a lot of fun stuff planned on later on today as well. We'll be telling you more about that throughout the day. Just make sure you stay close to Dog Nation and the Dog Nation Facebook page for a whole lot on that. We are here live in Los Angeles. For those of you watching us on video, good to have you with us. What we're going to do now is dive in, give you a chance to sound off. We've done this over the last couple of days during this portion of the show. It's actually been really fun. You know, we promised that at the beginning of the week, a chance to hear from a lot more of you during the show. And, of course, for our podcast audience, we appreciate you accommodating a slightly different format and schedule for us in that respect. But it's fun to catch up with Dog fans, find out what you're thinking as we're getting closer and closer to January 1st being here, seeing a lot more from George on the practice field, and really, you know, very serious minded yesterday as the Dogs on the field. It is a beautiful facility where Georgia practices too, by the way. It's the, what's it called? The StubHub Center. It's where the LA Galaxy, the MLS team, plays its games. The LA Chargers, who've moved over, obviously, from San Diego this year, they're, I guess it's their temporary home as all well. Really, really pretty. Very California-esque sports complex. A lot of palm trees. I guess there's also a college that's connected to this as well. And so a lot of those practice fields and Georgia on those fields kind of going at it yesterday. A nice thing to see. We'll show you some of that video throughout here. Do want to get some of your comments, though, and talk about what's going to happen for the Georgia Bulldogs. Charles Goodson says, how many sacks is Roquan Smith going to have? And, you know, this gets back to, you know, we did our Simply Smarter game planning brought to you by Aldi a moment ago, but this is another aspect of game planning for Georgia that Mel Tucker, Kirby Smart have to decide what is going to be Simply Smarter here. Is it Simply Smarter to bring guys like Roquan and Lorenzo Carter in on pressure and, you know, in blitz situations, at least in Roquan's case, you know, it would be more of a blitz situation. Is that what Georgia wants to do, or does it want to drop these linebackers back in coverage and push a lot of throws underneath? Obviously, Oklahoma makes a lot of its bones on some of those shorter throws, and if you can contain those shorter throws and use your playmaking defensive guys to keep the ball in front of them, then that limits the ability of what Oklahoma is going to do. I know we had Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily yesterday. Chip said at the time he thought that might be the attack that Georgia took, the game plan approach that Georgia took, of maybe not bringing as much blitz pressure, maybe not bringing those extra pass rushers too much, but instead trying to play a conservative game plan where you keep the ball in front of the defenders and you and see how that goes. Obviously, that would affect Roquan Smith's sack total depending on how Georgia decides to play that, and that's one of the choices these Georgia coaches are going to be facing here in the next couple of days. Joyce Crumley says, is Kirby Smart doing any recruiting while in Los Angeles? Well, the Georgia program is certainly doing its part to make sure this Rose Bowl trip is a big recruiting advantage for UGA. I know here earlier in the week we showed you the image that Tommy Bush, the receiver that Georgia's still chasing down for the class of 2018. He tweets out the picture of himself that Georgia sent to him. It's a Photoshop deal, wearing the Georgia Christmas sweater, and it was a postcard basically from L.A. and Pasadena saying greetings here from California. So Georgia's using that. If you're watching this on video, you also saw another example a moment ago of the ride, the Disneyland ride. Nick Chubb, Roquan Smith, Isaiah Wynn, along with Kirby Smart, all enjoying that. You know, that in itself becomes a recruiting tool because, listen, 3 or 4 years of your life in college, you want to maximize your opportunities to have fun. It's one of the reasons why good players like playing for good programs, because they want to be a part of weeks like this. And so I think this trip to the Rose Bowl for Georgia in a lot of ways recruits itself. It becomes its sort of, you know, own commercial here for the future of the program. So, yeah, the recruiting work continues for the Dogs, and this Rose Bowl trip's a big part of a lot of that. Robert Ogle says they think the Dogs come out firing on all cylinders. The Dogs are going to stun the world and win big. And, Robert, that last part of your question or your comment there, I think, is one of the interesting subplots to this game as both these sides try to sort of paint themselves a bit as the underdog, I guess. I mean, I think Georgia would like to see itself as the team that's capable of shocking the world, because at the beginning of the season, this is the one team in the college football playoff that few would have picked to be here. Now, some people did. You know, we here in Dog Nation Daily, we certainly thought the Georgia Bulldogs are going to win the East. Barrett Slee from CBS Sports was obviously on Georgia at the beginning of the season, but most of the media would have picked someone else other than Georgia to be here. Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, just to, you know, certain respects, are not really surprises here. So Georgia, I think, would like to sort of use that as a way of kind of painting itself as the underdog somewhat for Oklahoma, because they are actually the point spread underdog in the game. Maybe they would try to use that to their advantage to try to say the same thing. So, yeah, the idea of shock the world, nobody believes in us, that's a pretty common sports storyline. I think both these teams would like to try to grab that for their own here, but it may be difficult for either one to truly do it. Drew Miller says, hope the Dogs receivers have a huge game. I thought that was one of the interesting comments that Mike Stoops, the Oklahoma defensive coordinator, made yesterday, was saying that the most underrated part of this team, when he looks at the Georgia offense, what he sees as the most underrated aspect are the Georgia wide receivers. And to be frank here, I don't know that there were some moments in the season when maybe some Georgia fans might have disagreed with that a little bit. Maybe some Georgia fans might have thought that this wide receiving core not giving Georgia everything that it needs. You know, at times it seems like Georgia was relying too much on just Javon Wims, not getting the ball enough to Terry Godwin for whatever reason, not getting the ball to McCole Hardman enough for whatever reason. There was just a limited number of catches being made by wide receivers. The ones that were the guy that seemed to be bringing them down them all was Javon Wims. And we know the struggle there. If it's only one receiver catching the lion's share of the balls, then it becomes a lot easier to take that guy away. But then you saw the game plan that emerged during the SEC championship, and all of a sudden you saw Wims not even be Georgia's leading receiver that day. And there were at least three receivers that caught balls that day. Isaac Nada also added a touchdown. So all of a sudden now what Stoops is saying, it feels like it has a chance of being a little at least closer to being true based on the way in which Georgia got its wide receivers involved during the SEC championship. So kind of an interesting statement from Stoops on that. Drew Stevens says, everyone's sleeping on Fromm. If we get the run game going, Fromm's going to burn them on the play action, the RPOs. And, Drew, you know, I agree with that. And the way that I keep saying this is, and this is my opinion when it comes to Fromm, I cannot promise you that Georgia will win this game. I think Georgia probably will, but Oklahoma's a good team. I mean, Oklahoma could certainly beat Georgia, could certainly win the whole tournament here. I mean, Oklahoma's pretty dadgum good. So I can't promise you that Georgia will win, but what I believe that I can promise you is if Georgia loses, Jake Fromm's just not going to be the reason why. Jake Fromm is a quarterback that I trust. You talk about RPOs. I mean, I saw Georgia working in some of that briefly yesterday in some of the drill stuff. You know, those quick sort of pop passes from Fromm. He's just good at that. Now, yesterday at the practice field, he's not having to read any kind of defense or anything like that. These are just, you know, drills essentially. But if you look at one of the aspects that's made Fromm a good quarterback during the season, it is that ability to make the kind of quick throw, quick decision. And I think mixing some of that in on the early downs is important here too. You know, everybody says, hey, Georgia wants to run the football and move the clock and keep Baker Mayfield on the bench. And Georgia does want to do that. But that is one of those things that's, you know, you still got to be careful about, you know, running the ball too much when everyone knows you're doing it, because you have a way of becoming predictable. Would it surprise me to see Fromm mixing in some of those short, quick throws that he's been successful with, especially during the SEC championship game? See him mix some of that in the early downs, the early going of the game against Oklahoma? I think that, you know, that would not be a huge surprise to me at all. I think that'd be a pretty creative way to use Jake Fromm here. I mean, obviously, Georgia's, you know, final determination of who wins and loses this game is going to rest with the running backs, Chubb and Michelle, who've talked about, DeAndre Swift also. You know, that's the final tally of who's going to win this game. But I agree with what the commenter said a moment ago. Don't kid yourself in thinking that Jake Fromm won't be a big part of this as well. He's not the Heisman Trophy winner. He's only a true freshman, but he's the quarterback on this team for a reason. He's got Georgia to this spot for a reason. I think Fromm is the kind of guy that you can trust here in this game. J.C. Howell says, I think Georgia's going to win 38-24. That's about what I think. You know, do I think Georgia wins by two touchdowns? That may be a slightly wider margin than I'd give you in terms of the overall outcome of this game. But overall, as we've said here now, I think the winner's in the 30s. I think the loser's probably in the high 20s. I think both these teams are going to score some points. I think that the team that can find 30, and for Georgia, that may be more of a challenge than it is for Oklahoma because of how much Oklahoma has moved the football this year. But Georgia does have to try to move it against the Georgia defense, which is obviously a little bit of a help there as well. But for me, that's what it kind of comes down to. I think the winner's getting 30. I think the loser's stuck somewhere in the 20s, and that's about where this game is going to go. Keith Smith says DeAndre Walker's going to be an unsung player in the game. Byron P. Walker asks, what color jerseys will Georgia be wearing? Georgia will be wearing the white during the game. They're the lower-seeded team. In fact, yesterday during practice, the offense was wearing the white jerseys, which is customary in a game. A week in which Georgia's going to wear white during the game. So that is what's going on there. Will Scott also reminding us that Baylor scored 40 on Oklahoma, and that is true. Oklahoma has played some of those Big 12 games this year where teams like Baylor and Oklahoma State got a lot of yards and points against them. All right, we're going to take a lot more of your comments here coming up here today on Dog Nation Daily as we let you sound off on what you think about the game against Oklahoma. We'll do that here coming up. But for now here on Dog Nation Daily, let's move on and get ready to do the rest of the program, including our SEC through right now.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC through.
All right, so here on Dog Nation Daily, as we do our SEC through, I'll remind you that Dog Nation Daily is brought to you in part today by our friends at Kroger. Don't forget, Kroger's got big savings for your happy holidays. You can order your party platters for appetizers, brunch, or more. It's perfect for all your holiday parties, including your New Year's parties here coming up over the course of the next couple days. So make sure you order online at Kroger.com or stop by your local Atlanta area Kroger for more on that. And of course, it's great to have Kroger with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. All right, so Ed Orgeron, the LSU coach, has spoken out about something that we talked about on the show yesterday. The reports that are out there that LSU could be moving on from coordinator, the offensive coordinator, Matt Canada, at the end of the season. We said yesterday that we think here on this show that'd be a disaster for the Tigers, and it's the kind of thing that I think would really reflect poorly on Orgeron's leadership and management of the LSU program. And I think, you know, I haven't been on AT&T SEC Country Live, at least in a host capacity this week, but I've got to imagine a lot of the LSU fans who watch that show every day are probably pretty concerned about what might be going on here. And what Orgeron says when he speaks to the media about this does not do a whole lot to kind of calm down those fears that Orgeron may be making kind of an odd move here of moving on from Canada after just 1 year on the job. What Orgeron said, I'm going to paraphrase his quote here, was that Canada's our play caller for the Notre Dame game, and right now all we care about is beating Notre Dame. Well, that may be what Orgeron wants to say, but that's not how LSU fans feel. They're way more worried about the future of the program 2018 and beyond they are about beating Notre Dame in some meaningless bowl game, so meaningless than the fact that Arden Key's not even going to play in it. This really, I think, calls into question the stewardship of Orgeron here with one of the pristine programs in the SEC, LSU. If he's looking for another offensive coordinator here this offseason, I think that you can start the clock on Orgeron as coach of LSU, and that clock may run out and expire before he has a chance to enjoy success. Canada was a Broyles Award finalist before coming to LSU. If he's not working out with the Tigers, that feels to me more of a problem with the situation in Baton Rouge than the problem with Matt Canada. Canada, I think, still has a very bright future in the coaching ranks. About our buddy Mark Burnett, who does a good job covering the Alabama Crimson Tide for SECCountry.com, had a really interesting story about Alabama quarterback Jalen Hurts. Now, some of you all are aware of my, I guess, fairly strong opinion on Hurts. I think Hurts is very limited as a quarterback. And I think that Hurts is going to be the reason why Alabama is not going to win the national championship. Now, I think Alabama could still beat Clemson without a lot from Hurts. But I think that ultimately, you know, Hurts is a guy that, you know, he's still less than 50% of his throws deep down the field. You know, I think overall he's still more of a runner than a thrower. And against elite competition like Deshaun Watson last year, like Jared Stidham in the Iron Bowl, against elite competition and top-flight quarterbacks, I think that Jalen Hurts just leaves something to be desired. Well, Alabama players have obviously heard some of that criticism. Mark got some quotes from them about their thoughts about playing for Hurts, and they're all behind him. They're all in support of him. They're all, you know, rallying behind him. And I get why these guys want to stick up for their quarterback, but as a Georgia fan, ask yourself this question for a moment. Now, I know that the Georgia coaches and players don't want to look ahead to a potential national championship matchup against Alabama. I do get that, but for 2 seconds here, we can at least, you know, briefly think about that. What would scare you more as a Georgia fan against Alabama? Trying to contain the running quarterback, Jalen Hurts, who is going to be limited throwing the football, or trying to deal with an Alabama offense that had a guy like Tua Tagovailoa, the backup, who is a terrific throwing arm, you know, a kind of guy that you know, brings the vertical passing game into the discussion there, and all of a sudden you activate, you know, a lot more from Devontae Smith and a lot more from Henry Ruggs, the wide receiving core, Calvin Ridley, Jerry Jeudy, the outstanding freshman. You know, if I think about what would be tougher to stop, it's the Alabama that I just described there in the latter sense, with a more capable throwing quarterback, getting those wide receivers involved. That's the Alabama team that's tougher to beat. So I get the Alabama folks want to stick up for their quarterback, Jalen Hurts, but Alabama would just be better if Tua Tagovailoa is playing quarterback for them. Football Scoop's got an interesting report that Charles Kelly, the embattled former Florida State defensive coordinator, a guy that was not popular with the Seminole fans, looks to be on his way to joining the staff of Jeremy Pruitt at Tennessee. We don't really know what capacity Kelly's going to be in here. I think this is an example of Seminole fans had grown tired of him as defensive coordinator. One of the reasons why they were sometimes upset with Jimbo Fisher is because Fisher had shown some loyalty to Kelly. But Kelly's still, you know, a competent coaching mind. He's worked at a major program, and I think this would probably be a pretty good addition for Pruitt at Tennessee if that's the direction they choose to go there. You know, not a home run hire in any capacity, but as a position coach, as a guy filling out the staff, that may be a pretty good spot for Jeremy Pruitt to bring in a guy like Kelly who's spent some time at Florida State. One more quick story I'll get to here. Malik Zaire is leaving Florida. His dad spoke to SEC Country and gave some quotes, but it sounded like that he was not happy with his time at Florida whatsoever. You'll remember he was the transfer into the Florida program, could have stayed around for another year, now choosing not to, said he felt like he was sold a bill of goods from Florida. The truth is, I mean, I hate to say it this way, I'm not going to pick on the young man, but my gosh, the Florida quarterback situation this year was wretched. It seems like he had plenty of opportunities to win the job and just couldn't do it. So, I mean, you know, listen, I like piling on Jim McElwain. We certainly have done that here on Dog Nation Daily. I think he was a disaster in running the Florida program. But let's not act like that there weren't opportunities at quarterback this year for the Gators for whatever reason. Zaire was not able to step up and take them. And now for a coach in Dan Mullen, who we all know wants to run the sort of dual-threat quarterback. The only dual-threat quarterback left on the roster is the 2018 signee, Emory Jones. So good luck with that if you're Florida. We'll make that your SEC through. And now here on Dog Nation Daily Live from L.A., we'll turn our attentions back to the Rose Bowl. Oh, yeah, by the way, before we do that, I guess I should probably also mention this as well, that we do have a couple SEC teams in bowl games today. I should mention that. Texas A&M plays Wake Forest in the the Belk Bowl. You've got Kentucky playing Northwestern in the Music City Bowl. So you've got a couple SEC teams getting going in the bowls today. You also got a really good one tonight between Ohio State and USC in the Cotton Bowl. So the bowl season starts to heat up a little bit. But y'all are thinking about the you're thinking about the Rose Bowl, and you're thinking about what's going to happen between Georgia and Oklahoma. And one of the weird subplots that starts to creep in here a little bit is whatever's going on with Baker Mayfield, who did not go this team to Disneyland. I think he may have missed another team function yesterday. He's continuing to practice, but you know, this idea that Mayfield's under the weather continues to kind of be out there is sort of a, I don't know if this is a true storyline for the game, but it's something people keep talking about. So maybe from that standpoint, it is a storyline. I mean, Chris Fowler had a tweet that I noticed. Fowler tweets, certainly hope Baker Mayfield is well enough to play at 100% Monday. That's kind of a dire sentence from Fowler here. If he were an announcer instead of a quarterback, he'd be in trouble. The cold flu sounded awful at practice, Fowler says. Old-fashioned bed rest is needed. Oklahoma football probably eager to hear about any homespun remedies. I mean, is it that serious for Baker Mayfield here? I mean, it seems like that Chris Fowler's kind of turning up the drama somewhat on the illness for Baker Mayfield. I mean, for me, I want to say, call me when he misses practice, okay? Because what I don't want, and listen, you know, maybe I'm growing tired of this Oklahoma stuff as well, and I'm going to sound, you know, probably a little bit more like a fan than a media member when I say this, but what I don't want is for Mayfield, who maybe veers in the direction of the overdramatic every now and then, maybe even melodramatic from time to time, I don't want him to think that he's going to use this Rose Bowl and this Georgia defense to have his version of the Jordan flu game where, like, he sort of guts his way out to a victory battling illness all week. Either you're sick or you're not. And if you're practicing, you don't get to say you're sick. Okay, so I'm a little over some of this sick talk. John Shin, who was on Dog Nation Daily early in the week, he kind of also had his own version of this tweet. What Shin reports from the Oklahoma practice is that Mayfield threw the ball fine during the portion open to the media, but he does look like he's getting over the flu. So, I mean, here's the guy, Shin, that's been around Oklahoma for a while, and for him to say, to my eyes, I look at Mayfield during practice, and he looks like he's been sick. I mean, you can't help but notice that. I mean, but you know, once again, you know, either he's practicing or not. And if he's practicing, he's playing. And if he's practicing, then he's not, you know, too sick to be 100%, whether Chris Fowler's giving these melodramatic tweets or not. I am somewhat interested in the storyline, given the fact that I thought it would go away by now, the fact that it hasn't, somewhat curious, but I think Mayfield's going to be fine. He is expected to meet with the media a little later on this morning here in California. If he doesn't do that, then maybe we can talk, but as of right now, things seem fine. He's clearly healthy enough to have beefs with NFL analysts on Twitter. Did you see what Mark Schlereth, the former ESPN personality, tweeted out? I guess he got an argument over Mayfield. He called the Heisman a garbage award. He says, when the last Heisman quarterback to be worth, you know what, in the NFL. Then he says, get lost, Oklahoma fanboy. Well, somehow Baker Mayfield sees this exchange on Twitter. He fires back at Mark Schlereth. He says, you got it, big fella. At least tag me in all your stuff. In other words, saying, don't subtweet me here. So Baker Mayfield, who kind of finds his way into the headlines, sometimes not even trying to, becomes a little bit of a Twitter storyline last night, going to do battle with Mark Schlereth. So too sick to do team functions in the Rose Bowl, not too sick to beef with folks on Twitter. Make of that what you will. But for now, we'll get ready to wrap up our program. And of course, here on Dog Nation Daily, it has been great to have you with us here from L.A. If you're listening to us on the podcast, if you're on video, stick with us. We'll have more of your comments here coming up in just a moment. And listen, we close the show the same way every day. No matter where we are, in L.A., in Chicago, you know, we've been everywhere for Dog Nation Daily this year. We've thought about a lot of big games. Rose Bowl, we're thinking about that coming up on Monday. But we still take a moment to rub it in the face of the Florida Gators, remind them that Georgia beat them 42-7 this past year and are coming for them again next October. Why do we do it? We believe that good Georgia fans are Gator haters first and foremost. We believe that's supposed to be the dog's biggest rival. That's why we do the Gator Hater Countdown every single day here on Dog Nation Daily. Quick reminder, 302 days from right now, Georgia goes back to Jacksonville and gets another win over the Florida Gators. A lot of fun coming up for us today here at DogNation.com, Dog Nation Daily. Stay close to the website, close to the Facebook page for more from practice and a whole lot of fun in between. Play some Georgia players and coaches coming up later on as well. Thanks for being with us. We'll talk to you tomorrow.